Matt started a series, I think, last week on spirituality. And this morning, we're going to continue that. We get to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. One thing Matt and I also have in common is we used to play basketball together. I'm going to share a not as flattering story a little bit later. But we used to play basketball a lot and have had the privilege of coaching basketball together a few years ago when I was pastor at Glenmore Christian Academy. Matt and I coached basketball together with his sister Mel. Not Mel here, but Mel used to be Wilkes. And we enjoyed that a lot. But what we learned was that on those teams that we coached, everybody plays a role. It doesn't matter necessarily the skills that you have coming in, you're going to be given a role. There's an assumption of a skill. There's an assumption of a competency. There's an assumption that if you try out for the team, you actually want to and you enjoy playing basketball. And that you're going to bring some kind of basketball skill into the gym every time you show up. Every person then who makes that team plays a role. Every person needs to be comfortable with who they are, needs to be comfortable with the way they play, and it's essential that every person on the team actually lives out the skills that they bring. You wouldn't assume if you showed up to try out for a team that later on you could care less about basketball. I'm going to try out, but I don't really care about basketball. And I'm going to try out, but later on, when the coach puts me into a role as point guard, I'm going to play more like a post. Or if he puts me on the wing and my job is to shoot three-pointers, I'm not going to assume that I'm the point guard and I should bring the ball up every time. Every person on that team, as a coach, when I watch them, I give them a role, I give them a job, and I assume that they're going to accomplish that role and do what they're asked to do. That they're actively going to live out their role as basketball players on the team. And I think when we look at spiritual gifts this morning, we're going to see a ton of similarities between team sports, the body of Christ, and the gifts that God gives every single one of us here to live out in this place, in this body. So I want to pray that He would open our hearts and minds to what He wants to say this morning, and that His Holy Spirit, the one that gives us these gifts, would inspire us and speak to us this morning. So let's just pray one more time as we open up this part of our service. So, Father, would you, by your Holy Spirit, do that? Would you teach us? Would only truth be presented, only truth received by every one of us here this morning? And Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us the ways that you've made us to build up this body and to fulfill the call that you have on our lives? In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So if we're talking about spiritual gifts, where do they come from? Well, they come from the Holy Spirit. And if you remember in the New Testament, the first place we kind of meet the Holy Spirit is in Acts chapter 2. Before that, we hadn't heard much about the Holy Spirit. It had been God the Father, God the Son, and then Jesus was saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to go be at the right hand of my Father in heaven. But you're the lucky ones, because you get to receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said specifically in Acts chapter 2 to his followers, go into the city and wait there until what? Until the Holy Spirit comes on you. And in Acts chapter 2, we see them gathered in this room. And the Holy Spirit comes on them like a rushing wind. It appears in the room. And there are these tongues of fire that rest on each of the believers. And the Holy Spirit is given to those believers. What do they do next? They leave that space and they go out into the town square, basically, and they begin to speak in languages that they've never learned. They begin to proclaim boldly the words of Jesus to people they've never met. These are ordinary people like the guys we saw in the video that had no clue what they were doing with fish, apparently, had to be told how to fish. But here they are, in front of people they've never met, speaking languages they've never learned, prophesying and giving words of wisdom. How? Because they had received the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because they waited for the Holy Spirit to come onto them, to be in them, and to work through them for the glory of Jesus Christ and His body. How many people came to Christ that day? 3,000 people came to Christ at Pentecost. Why? Because a group of common, ordinary folk decided to live out the gifts that the Holy Spirit had just given them that day. I love the picture of the early church in Acts chapter 2 that we read about in the scriptures. And I would love to see that happen in Renfrew and in the city of Calgary, because this group of ordinary people lived out the gifts that the Holy Spirit had given them. So we get a little bit confused sometimes about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are different from the gifts of the Spirit. When you read about the fruit of the Spirit in the New Testament, those are things that, fruit is something that comes about because that fruit grew on that tree. And an apple tree is going to produce apples, right? A fig tree is going to produce figs. Where I live now, mango trees produce mangoes, papaya trees produce papayas, and those things don't mix. The assumption is that if we are followers of Christ, we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Those are like things that are natural to us. Those are DNA for us. Those are full-on expectations of every one of us as believers. But the gifts of the Spirit are different. And as we dive in a few minutes into three separate passages in the New Testament, we're going to see that not every gift of the Spirit has been given to every single one of us. Different from the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit, we are expected to live those out. But the gifts of the Spirit are given to specific people at specific times for specific purposes. So let's keep that in mind. Gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts in some ways, are skills and abilities that are given to us by the Holy Spirit that are to edify and bring and build up the body of Christ. We'll talk more about that later. So what are these gifts? What are the gifts? So we're going to take a look at three different passages in the New Testament. Everywhere that we read about the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament, it's from the writings of Paul. Paul is always the person that gives us sort of the lists of the gifts of the Spirit. So what I want to do, I just want to read all three of those passages quickly, and then I want to take every one of the gifts, quickly give a definition to it so that we're not confused when we're talking about it. And then we're actually going to use a grouping of gifts that Matt has come up with, speaking gifts, service gifts, and sign gifts, that I think is really helpful for us this morning. So if you brought your Bibles, turn first to Romans chapter 12. I have an advantage. I put bookmarks in my Bible. So I'm going to open up really quickly to Romans chapter 12. See that? See that? It's like I'm there right now. Where are you? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Romans chapter 12. We're going to read four verses from, well, actually five, verses 4-8. What's really interesting, and you'll notice this in a few minutes when we kind of flesh it out, every time Paul gives us a list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he embeds those lists in a passage on the unity of the body and the edification of the body. Take note of that, it's really important. Here's what it says, Romans chapter 12, verses 4-8. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Okay, so we're going to go over now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This in Romans is the first listing of gifts that we find. I'm there already. See that? Bookmarks are awesome. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read seven verses, verses 4-11. Again, just another list. You're going to hear some other gifts that we didn't read about in Romans 12. Here's what it says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same what? Same Spirit. Not every gift has a different spirit. Every gift has the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as who determines? Just as He determines. The Spirit determines who gets what gifts, and not every gift for every person. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm there already. See, Matt, no, I'm kidding. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. Matt and I used to have sword drills going up. We wish we had bookmarks. All right, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. It says, "It is He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of what? The fullness of Christ because of His Holy Spirit." So what I'd love to do, that's a lot of gifts. We can get really confused really quickly unless we take a quick moment just to look at the gifts themselves, to identify them in groupings, and then just give a quick definition to each one. The purpose this morning is not to identify exactly which gift you have or which gift you don't have. The purpose this morning is to recognize that we have gifts. And then Matt and Trent later are going to walk us through gift assessments. And what have we been given so that we can bring edification to this body of believers and to those outside the walls of this church. So let's look at the speaking gifts first. These gifts, basically, why do we call them speaking gifts? Because they use words. When they're manifest, they're verbally manifest. These are gifts that are spoken word gifts. So Matt just calls them speaking gifts. The first one is word of wisdom, that we are given words of wisdom. And here's a quick definition to help you understand what it is. The gift of wisdom, or the words of wisdom, is the divine strength or ability to understand and bring clarity to situations and circumstances, often through applying the truths of Scripture in a practical way. And you'll note as we walk through each of these gifts that they're not new just for the apostles and the believers gathered at Pentecost. You'll note that the Holy Spirit was at work, even in the Old Testament, giving these gifts to people. There were words of wisdom in the Old Testament. The second speaking gift is prophecy. Here's a definition of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the divine strength or ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that calls people to a right relationship with God. You'll again see that gift manifest throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, and today as well. Evangelism. The third gift is evangelism. This is a spoken gift as well. Gift of evangelism is the divine strength or ability to help non-Christians, people who don't know Jesus yet, take the necessary steps to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's exhibited clearly in the New Testament, and we see it today as well. The pastor teacher, the gift of pastor teacher or pastor shepherd, depending which translation you're using. I have to find it on my sheet. I'm sorry, guys. I'll put it on the other side. The gift of pastor shepherd or pastor teacher is the divine strength or ability to care for the personal needs of others by nurturing and mending life issues. And that of teaching, the pastor teacher, shepherd teacher, the gift of teaching is the divine strength or ability to study and learn from the Scriptures, primarily to bring understanding and depth to other believers, the gift of the pastor teacher. These are the speaking gifts. Does that make sense? All of them require words to be manifest, to be used. Then there's these service gifts. Service gifts we often don't think about. We often forget that these even exist because they're so vital to the body, and so many people employ these gifts, often what we call behind the scenes. Here are the service gifts. The first one is administration. The gift of administration is the divine strength or ability to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish these tasks. The second one in the grouping of service gifts is called exhortation. The gift of exhortation is the divine strength or ability to strengthen, comfort, or urge others to action through the written or spoken word and biblical truth. And as we go through the gifts, you're starting to realize that you have some of these. Faith, the gift of faith, is the divine strength or ability to believe in God for unseen supernatural results in every arena of life. The next one's the gift of giving. It's the divine strength or ability to produce wealth and to give by tithes and offerings for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that's the gift of giving. The gift of helps, this one and the next one, and the final one, helps, serving, and mercy. A lot of people, they would just blend these all into one, but there are really subtle differences. So here's the gift of helps. The divine strength or ability to work in a supportive role for the accomplishment of tasks in Christian ministry, with the ability to often see the need before others do. And that helps. The gift of serving. The gift of serving. The gift of serving is the divine strength or ability to do small or great tasks in working for the overall good of the body of Christ. And then the gift of mercy is the divine strength or ability to feel empathy and to care for those who are hurting in any way. And then the final grouping, I love Matt's groupings. They actually help us to understand the gifts quite well. The sign gifts. These are sort of demonstrative gifts. And often, for some reason in the church, we feel like these ones are really spiritual. But what we're going to find in a few minutes, that actually all the gifts are quite spiritual. So here are the sign gifts. The first one is the distinguishing of the spirits. And again, I put it on the wrong side here. The distinguishing of spirits. In some cases, we call this gift discernment, the discernment of spirits. Here's what it is. The divine strength or ability to spiritually identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong, to distinguish between right and wrong motives, and the spiritual forces at work in situations. You read about this a lot in Paul's writing. The miracles, the gift of being a person who can accomplish miracles, the divine strength or ability to alter the natural outcomes of life in a supernatural way through prayer, faith, and divine direction, miracles. And then healings. The gift of being a healer is the divine strength or ability to act as an intermediary in faith, prayer, and by the laying on of hands for the healing of physical, mental, and spiritual sickness. The gift of tongues. We're actually not going to focus a lot on tongues today because we do that often, and we get so distracted by this one gift that I think we miss the most important point, which we're going to make a little bit later. The gift of tongues is the divine strength or ability to pray in a heavenly language to encourage your spirit and to commune with God. The gift of tongues is often accompanied by the interpretation of tongues and should be used appropriately. So let's talk about the interpretation of tongues. It is the divine gift or ability to be able to interpret the gift of tongues. Rocket science. Matt said I was smart. So I just totally proved it right there. No, I'm kidding. No. Why do we get so distracted by those final two gifts? Because for some reason we feel like those two gifts separate us from everybody else. And when we do that, we get sidetracked from the focus later that we're going to talk about. The focus needs to be on Christ. When we focus on the gifts, there's room for pride and arrogance and hierarchies and ladders in the body. But when we focus on the giver of the gifts, we're just like this. We make silos out of everything, and we need not to do that with the spiritual gifts. So those are the gifts themselves. Oh, and I was going to make one comment. I was listening this morning as Darren mentioned that somebody called him young, the young guy. And Darren, I think perhaps that person didn't exhibit the gift of discernment in the moment. I don't know who it was. I'm not sure who it was. But in that moment, there could have been a stronger use of the gift of discernment. I don't know your age. You seem like a young guy at heart. Oh, sorry. I don't know Darren, but we're making great friends really quickly. So these are the gifts. And as we go through the gift, when I hear those lists all the time, I start saying, well, obviously not that, obviously not that. And I have like one or two that are really strong for me. And those ones I identify very quickly. But the truth is, The Holy Spirit has given every single believer at least one of these gifts. But in my suspicion, because I've been around churches for a long time, he actually gave every one of us a whole bunch of those gifts. Because giving, you imagine a small body of believers, like 10 people, and each person only has one gift, and nobody has the gift of administration, we're in trouble, right? So I feel like the Lord knew that there were going to be some small groups of believers, and so he's like, you know, we need to give people more than one gift. He's looking at God the Father and thinking, you know, if we only give that guy one, and he's only got 10 people with him, it's not going to work. So the Lord said, we need to give people multiple gifts, and he does. He gives gifts abundantly. He likes to give us these gifts. And what you'll notice through your life is that sometimes you have a stronger manifestation of a certain gift in your life. And then in another part of your life, you're like, well, in this part of my life, I had a great gift of leadership. But then 15 years later, the Lord gave me the gift of tongues. I didn't have that here, but I have it here. And that happens. The Holy Spirit will give you different gifts at different times in your life for different purposes to accomplish his call on your life during that time. So let's not be confused that if I have only the gift of exhortation and administration when I'm 20 years old, that when I'm 40, those are still the only two gifts that I will ever exhibit. That's just not the case, and it's really cool, and I love that because that causes a dynamic effect in the body of Christ. It's not just static. It's a really cool body of Christ that we get to be a part of because things are constantly changing and people are constantly developing in their giftings. So what are the gifts for? What are all of these gifts for? The primary purpose in every single one of those passages, all three passages where Paul shows us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he is talking about the unity of the body and the edification of the body. If we walk through each one of those passages individually, we will see that he's got those set there on purpose. The focus of the gifts can never be me, or for you, it can never be you. But the focus of the gifts always has to be us. And actually, for me, the focus of the gifts have to be you. And for you, the focus of the gifts have to be each other. We can never look at the giftings and say, they're for me alone. In fact, the only gift that Paul ever identifies as having a me focus is the gift of tongues. He says it's to be used for edifying yourself, but then he goes on to say, but also in the edification of the body, because somebody's going to interpret that tongue. So the only gift that has even a shadow side of a me focus is the gift of tongues. Every single gift has an external focus. They are for the body. They are for building up the body. And that is how the body is effective and productive. And that's the only way the body is complete, is if we view the gifts as for this and not this. Does that make sense? I think we get so sidetracked on a couple of the gifts because we think we miss the focus. We miss the focus of the body and we look at ourselves instead. So if that's the purpose of the gifts, then why sometimes do we have this thing where we group two of the gifts or three of the gifts as really spiritual gifts? Because we don't understand the root of that word. So all of the gifts are spiritual. That's the next thing I want to just camp on for maybe 2 minutes. That all of the gifts are spiritual, not only two or three of them. Did you know that the root for the word gifts in all of these passages that Paul uses is charisma? The exact same root that we get the word charismatic from. Every single one of these words, every single one of these gifts is a spiritual gift. They all carry the same name in Greek. If we agree this morning that we have been given these gifts from the Holy Spirit, do you know that every single one of us is charismatic? Does that sound funny in a Baptist church? No, I'm just kidding. Every single one of us has been given gifts. We are all charismatic. Isn't that awesome? It's not just the PAOC, right? It's the NABs too, which is awesome. That's the truth of it. Every single one of us is charismatic. Every person, when exercising any one of these gifts, is under a real anointing of the Holy Spirit. But what happens in the body? Well, somebody gets up to lead worship, And they're in that moment, in some ways, using the gift of prophecy. And in some cases, they're exercising words of wisdom in that moment. Or somebody gets up to preach and they're exercising their gift of teaching. And in that moment, often, that's the only time we hear somebody say, oh, that brother or sister is under a real anointing of the Holy Spirit right now. But so is the guy on Tuesday night who moves the chairs out of one room into the other because there's a group that needs the chairs in the other space when he exercises his gift of helps in that moment. He is under a real anointing of the Holy Spirit as he does that. Or same as the woman who goes on Thursday afternoons to visit the sick in the hospital and brings the word of God to the people who are sick and dying in our hospitals and says, you just need to know Jesus loves you today as you lay on your bed in the hospital. Under the same anointing and the same amount of anointing of the Holy Spirit in that moment as the person who brings a powerful word on Sunday morning or at a revival meeting on Friday night. We need to reevaluate the way we speak of the gifts, the way we treat the gifts. If they're all for the edification of the body, and if they're all spiritual, the same anointing is true of the person who moves the chairs or visits the sick or preaches in a revival meeting on Friday night. That's the same anointing of the Holy Spirit. The guy stacking chairs is as spirit-filled in that moment as the guy leading worship on Sunday morning. So the next time you see the guy moving chairs, you need to walk up to him and say, brother, this is a powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit as you move these chairs right now. Wouldn't that be an encouragement? Or when the sister comes back from praying over the sick in the hospital, we ought to be saying to them, what a powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit as you prayed over the sick today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wouldn't that be amazing? I would love to see that. And it would change the way the body functioned because we'd view these gifts the way they're to be viewed, not as different, but as same different. There's a big assumption that I see when Paul is writing here. He talks about the Holy Spirit giving gifts. He talks about the Holy Spirit gives gifts as he sees fit. With the grace that he pours out and what we receive, he assumes that the gifts will be used. You ever notice that? He speaks of it as a body. Paul speaks of the giftings as used in the body. The assumption is that my body will completely be used. When I walk, there's an assumption that all my arms and legs do what they're supposed to do because they have to, or the body can't walk. When people lose an arm, it affects their walking. It definitely affects their eating, but it also affects their walking. When people lose a leg, it affects their walk. It affects everything because the body then is incomplete. If the gifts are to be used for the body, when one's not, we all suffer. We need to all be using our gifts. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, each of you, each of us, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, in its various giftings. There are no bench players in the kingdom of heaven. Matt and I in junior high were kind of familiar with the bench. I'll say Matt got in before me. He's a better basketball player by actually a fair bit now because I retired after junior high. He kept playing, all right? I saw where my giftings were not going, and so I retired, all right? But Matt and I, I'll tell you a funny story. Matt was already in the game, which tells you a lot about how far ahead we were, okay? And I was still on the bench, which tells you a lot about my skill level, okay? So there's some inferences here. And Matt was already in the game, playing great. Matt was scoring baskets, playing good defense. And I was on the bench talking about defense. And I kept saying, we got to play better defense. We should be playing man-to-man, not zone, which is a mistake when the coach is only two down from you, right? The coach makes that call, not Grant Weber, because I shouldn't be making the call at that point, right? So I'm making these comments about defense. And Coach Ken Miller looks down and says, Weber, you want to talk about defense? Get in there and play some defense. And I'm like, oh, no. Right now I have to use my giftings, or what I don't have is giftings, right? I couldn't score baskets. All I could do was play defense, so I was happy about that. But my job was a wing. I was on the right side. I was basically a 2-3 guy. A 2-3 guy is this side and up and down. And so my job was to throw the ball in. It was an out-of-bounds play. So I was to throw the ball in to Dan Allen as he came by. It was kind of like a swing. And so I was supposed to just inbound the ball to Dan, but then he was going to bring it back to me, and I was supposed to be in position for a simple 2-point shot, free throw line extended. That's an easy play. And where we were set up, it should work well. We were so far ahead, the other team wasn't that good. I should be able to accomplish that. But this was like my first time into a game in like, I don't know, 5 games? Or maybe any games, right? There's only 5 games in the whole season. So I'm standing there, referee passes me the ball, wait for the whistle. So I wait for the whistle. He blows it. I pass it to Dan. That's the easy part, you know? Pass it to Dan. Dan's coming on the swing, and I just come inbounds, and all I have to do is catch the ball, dribble it a couple of steps, and take the shot. Literally, simple, because they were playing zone defense. You can score on that. So he passes the ball back to me, and it's a little bit low. Still shouldn't be a big deal, but in the moment, nervousness, bad hand-eye coordination. So ball's a little low. I went to grab the ball. I kicked it. So I'm like, oh, no big deal. I'll just go run and pick it up, right? So I kick the ball. It's going down towards the baseline. So I just kind of run like this, bend down to pick it up. I kick it again, right? It was literally less than 2 minutes, and I was back on my spot, 3 down from Coach Miller on the bench. There are no bench players in the kingdom of heaven. The gifts will be used. I was exhibiting my lack of gifting, but you have been given a gift. And you have strongly been given multiple gifts. You are not a bench player at Renfrew Baptist Church. There are no bench players at Renfrew Baptist Church. Every single one of us has multiple gifts to be used for the kingdom here at Renfrew and in this community. So I want to read this quote. I think it's going to come up here. It's by a guy named Aaron Nyquist. Here's what he says. And listen to the direction he takes us. God has given a spiritual gift to the church in you, and you dare not keep that to yourself. We have been given a gift in your gifting. This body of Renfrew has been given a gift in your gifting. We just came through Christmas, right? How interesting would it be if you give your gifts to your kids and they go and hide in a corner or in their room and they don't open the gift, they stick them under their bed and say, I'm not going to touch those. I don't want to open those. Those are gifts. I'm just going to leave them there. And month upon month, the gifts stay under the bed. And they're never open, they're never enjoyed, they're never used, and nobody gets the joy or the experience of seeing what those gifts meant to them or to those around them. Isn't Christmas so much better? When you gather in the room and everybody opens the gifts together, you get to see the reactions. You get to see what those mean, not just to the receiver of the gifts, but to those gathered. And you get to see how those gifts are then used. It's the joy of watching children play with those gifts. Do you not think that the Father in heaven, through His Holy Spirit, experiences the exact same joy when He gives multiple gifts to every single one of us? And He gets to see those used in the body of Christ and not kept under the bed? Do you see how important it is that we use our gifts? It's not just an assumption. It's an essential reality in the body of Christ, that we would use our gifts. Let others see your gifts. Receive the gift graciously. Let others see it and use those gifts wisely. But I want to conclude with the most important thing. When we talk about the gifts, this is the most important thing. That we focus on the giver of the gifts and not the gifts themselves. It's here that we get distracted. It's here that we miss the main point, we lose our focus. If our focus is on the gift, there's room for pride, there's room for hierarchy, and there's room for disunity among us as believers. Some of the gifts have tended to be elevated to a point of worship above the giver. Some of the gifts have been ranked. And for some reason, we follow that ranking. Let's get to the macro level a little bit here. Not the ground level, but let's pretend we're at 30,000 feet and we're in a Boeing and we're looking at these giftings from up there. What is the point of our lives on this earth? What's the point of us existing? To bring glory to God, to worship Him alone, and to live in such a way that others might see and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's the macro view. How then is there any room or time for us to be focused on these gifts that we've been given? Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we confess. Here's what it says in Hebrews 12, 2. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Why is that so important? Because if we look at our giftings, we can become prideful in and of ourselves. Never focus on the gifts. We only focus on the giver of the gifts because it's for His glory that we employ and see those gifts manifest in the body. Friends, when Jesus ascended to be with His Father, He said He was going to send someone to us. And that someone was the Holy Spirit. Jesus was just completely focused on bringing glory to the Father in everything He did. In leaving us the Holy Spirit, He left us someone who gives us the ability to do the same thing, to bring glory to God the Father through the indwelt Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to sing together just a closing song. But let's remember this morning, that everything, every part of every single one of us needs to bring glory to God the Father. And every part of every one of us needs to be focused on bringing glory to God the Father. Every single one of us has been given multiple gifts to do that. Maintain your focus. The work is too large. I see the enormity of the work where I live in Indonesia. There are over 300 million Muslims in the country I live in. On the island I live on, there are over 4 million Hindus. When you think about that scope globally, I'm just talking about one nation. The scope globally, it's too big, the work that the Lord has called us to be focused on ourselves and our giftings. Let's maintain our focus that we're here to bring glory to the Lord and bring Christ to everybody around us by using the gifts that He's called us to. Let's pray. So, Father, I pray that You would give us Your wisdom, Your boldness, and Your focus to do as You call with the gifts You've given us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's stand and sing together.